Do you know that there is only one God in three eternal persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit? Do you know that Jesus said He is the only way to heaven, and His death and resurrection bring forgiveness of sins to all who believe? Welcome to the Pastor Study, a ministry of pastorstudy.org. Join us now as we study God's Word, the Bible, together.
Welcome to the Pastor Study. Do you perhaps have an addiction? Maybe you're addicted to alcohol, to pornography, to sex, to food, to, you fill in the blank, but or maybe to this. I mean, I'm seriously praying, God, help me not spend so much time looking at this phone, because this can be an addiction. So I thought we'd bring in today an expert on how do we overcome our addictions. So I'd like to introduce to you Tom Trusinski. Hi, Tom.
Hi, Tom.
And he is from one of the most popular, most successful addiction programs in the country called Minnesota Adult and Teen Challenge. And so if you're having an addiction problem, you want to watch the whole show. But I always ask our visitors to give us their testimony of how they came to know Christ. And Tom just told it to me before we started running the cameras. Wow, he's got a story. So, Tom.
Yes.
First of all, you were a business guy for 15 years?
Yeah, I was in public finance.
And then a pastor for 15 years?
For 15 years.
And now for 10 years, you've been doing addiction work with Teen Challenge.
Yes,
but
sir.
You had an addiction. And tell people how you came to Christ.
I did. You know, I was raised, Pastor, in a home that loved God, but actually never dealt with their issues. They never dealt with their challenges, and they self-medicated with drugs and prescription drugs and alcohol.
And both your mom and your dad.
Yes. Lovely, lovely parents, but after 5 o'clock, it became a different story. And I grew up saying I never wanted to be like that. And I became not only like that, but worse. Probably the big pivotal point was in the time when I was 13 years old. My dad was passing away of lung cancer because of his choice to smoke. And on his deathbed, as he was holding my mom's hand, he had the opportunity at my mom's leading to tell me that he loved me. And instead of telling me he loved me, my dad turned and he looked out the window. And about 10 minutes later, my dad passed away. Now, I want you to know today, Pastor, I know that my dad loved me. Today, I know that my dad was probably regretting not building a relationship, not connecting with me in a way that he would have preferred, and he was looking at the opportunity that was lost. But back then at 13, I didn't know that.
Mm-hmm.
And so at 13, I got bitter. I got bitter against God. I got bitter against life. And I started experimenting with drugs and alcohol. That would last another 18 years until I was 31.
Wow.
While I was able to do well in school, in college, and in grad school to get my finance degree, I got arrested a number of times. I had to appear before judges. I know what it's like to hear a jail door close behind me and to do time and have to report to a probation agent. What really changed my life was when I was nearly 32. I had figured out what the problem was. I figured out it was my wife. My wife was the problem. She wasn't the problem. But see, I had a problem where I thought everybody else was the problem. The teachers, the cops, the parents, everybody else had a problem except for me. And so in this particular situation, I drove down my driveway in Eagan, Minnesota. I drove past my wife, who was holding our 6-month-old daughter and our 2-year-old daughter. And I was on my way to destroy my family. I was gonna leave my wife and my 2 kids. And that night on 35E and Pilot Knob Road, a car cut in front of me on my motorcycle. I swerved to avoid it, lost control, accelerated into the back of a truck. On the impact, I would bust up my hip and a number of ribs. I came close to dying that night, and I cut off my right foot.
Ooh.
And that night, as I laid on the pavement with nobody else around me, I was going in and out of consciousness, and I knew in that moment, if I die right now, I'm going to hell. Nobody was banging me over the head with the Bible. My status, my money, my things, my drinking buddies, my drugs, none of those things could help me right now. But I knew that God could. This God that I ran from, this God that I wanted nothing to do with, when I cried out, God help me, He heard me. And I thought God was like what I perceived my father to be. Far off, uninterested, distant. And I found that He was anything but. He's there. He's loving. And He's so caring. And He rescued me. And so instead of being divorced with two kids, my beautiful wife Carmen and I have been married 35 years. We have four kids. I've got a 3-year-old grandson, another one on the way this spring, and I am living for Jesus and wanting everybody to know that He is the way, the truth, and the life.
Good. And so you, at the car accident, you kind of gave your life to Christ.
Yes.
And then did you have a church you started going to, or how'd you get into it all?
Yeah, well, what happened is a neighbor of mine named Pat invited me to an event called Promise Keepers.
Oh, yeah.
And I went that first night. It was a 2-day event at the Metrodome, 60,000 men.
Yeah, I remember.
And it smelled terrible in there, I'll tell you, all those guys.
And that's kind of was...
That night... somebody from the Billy Graham Association was talking about sin, and he was rubbing me the wrong way.
Mm-hmm.
But I ended up taking off my glasses and rubbing my eyes and wondering what I got myself into.
Okay.
And I started to cry.
Yeah.
And a gentleman named Glenn White from Lawrence, Kansas,
uh-huh,
rolled up next to me, and he led me to Christ.
Did he? Isn't that great? And so that was how many years ago?
Almost 29.
Wow, wonderful.
Yeah.
You've been walking with the Lord ever since.
Yes, sir.
Did your addiction immediately stop, or was it on and off again until it finally stopped, or what happened?
The night of my accident, I haven't used any drugs since that night. I did think that I could hold on to having a beer every now and again, but the truth is that it got me into trouble.
Okay.
And so for me, I had to choose to walk away from it all. So
all right.
Over 28 years, I've been drug and alcohol free.
Great story. Now, here's a question. Maybe somebody's watching this show, and they're a Christian.
Yes.
And they've cried out to God, help me not look at pornography anymore. Help me never smoke marijuana again. And they keep doing it. And so is there hope that they'll get over this, or do they struggle till they die? What would you say to that?
You know, what I would say to that is that help is available for those who want it, not those who need it.
Okay.
And I really think having the want to is a big part of the victory. I have been walking clean and sober for almost 29 years. But Pastor, I have to actually work my plan every single day. I'm not one of those guys that has just had his temptations lifted. I still have temptations to use most days.
Yeah.
But I have to walk my plan out.
And how do you do that so you don't go back?
Yeah. So on the back of my cell phone is the word alert. And I actually activate that plan where Jesus says, be sober and alert. The devil prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. I have literally taken that word alert and acknowledge that I have a problem. Admit that I have a problem. First great step. The L is look away right away. I'll look away, but after a long time. No, you got to get away right away. The E is a big one for me, where it's engage. Instead of isolating, instead of drifting off and disengaging from others, I need to engage. I'm having a challenging moment. Will you pray with me? To my son Joey, could we go shoot some hoops? R is remember the cost. Addicts, whatever the addiction is, are very impulsive people. We incur the cost and then afterwards go, ooh, I don't know if I wish I would have paid that much. The time to consider the cost is on the front end.
Okay.
So remember the cost before. And the T for me is turn to God. Now you'd think as Christians that that would come first. But that wouldn't spell alert. But okay. The truth is, I think what we have to do is we have to burn through our own humanness, our own strength, our own power, till we get to a point of saying, God, I surrender.
So A stands for?
Admit I have a problem.
L?
Look away right away.
E?
Engage.
R?
Remember the cost.
T?
Turn to God.
Do you have an accountability partner or a little group you go to? Do you have any accountability in your life that
way? I do.
A certain person or a group of persons?
I have about 5 or 6 people that I can call day or night,
yep.
And I have.
And I think that is the key. I think the reason people keep, even believers, keep stumbling with marijuana or drinking or porn or whatever is because they have no accountability in their life. And I tell them, you got to get a prayer partner who once a week will say, how you doing? Mm-hmm. And if you, that'll put a dent in the sin.
Well, and that's the beauty of the E, the engage. I'm inviting you into my situation. I typically pulled away and would not use around other people. But I would have this own pity party where I would just beat myself up telling me how lousy I am, that my wife is done with me, God is done with me, and I would make myself very hopeless. But when I bring others into the fight, you know, we heal in community.
Yeah.
That's the beauty of coming together
as a
body of Christ.
So people need a church, too.
Absolutely.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Absolutely.
Okay, good. Let's say somebody's watching this. And they've tried so many times to stop, and they haven't. Where can they go to get help?
Well, I personally think the first thing to do is to drop to your knees and to
talk
ask
to God.
To talk to God. Jeremiah 33:3 says, call to me, and I will answer you, I will tell you great and unsearchable things you don't
Amen.
Know.
Amen.
I think the next thing is to reach out to a trusted friend. Getting it out in the open, admitting you have a problem, is huge.
Yeah, yeah.
Because the victory, the road out, isn't as hard when you invite others in.
Mm-hmm.
And then if you need, reach out to your pastor. Reach out to a pastor. Reach out to a trusted source like Minnesota Adult and Teen Challenge, for example. Or another counselor.
And for some people, the last person they're going to talk to about their problem is a pastor. But people, I'm a pastor, and you're a pastor. You got to know we've heard it all. And we're a mess ourselves. So don't think you can't talk to your pastor. But if you absolutely can't, find a mature Christian. And I like the idea of having a prayer partner who regularly you check in with.
Yeah, it's so important. You build each other up. You sharpen one another.
Yeah.
The Word of God talks about how with many advisors, plans succeed.
Yeah.
And without it, plans fail.
Right.
So
you know, you've got Minnesota Adult and Teen Challenge. Do people still come for 9 months and live there, or how does that work now?
Well, we have a short-term program that's anywhere from 30 days to 90 days, and then we have a one-year program that's actually 13 months. And we have 18 campuses around the state of Minnesota.
Do people, so anybody, adult or teen, can go to this, right?
Correct.
And we'll give your website at the end if people want to check in. But do you think long-term most people stay sober, or do most people relapse? What do you think the answer is to that?
I have seen some literal walk-on-water miracles. I have seen people that have been addict for 20, 30, 40 years make that decision to walk free. Tom, I mentioned to you that my mother was a beautiful, beautiful soul. I loved my mother. She's been gone 11 years now. My mom at 82 said to me, very devout Catholic woman, beautiful woman of faith, she said, Tom, I see a joy in your life. I want what you got.
Mm-hmm.
And I explained to her, before God, there was no peace and no God. But now I know God and I know peace. And I had a chance to pray with my mom at 82 years old. And I had a mom the last 10 years of her life.
Oh, wonderful.
And so I know that it's possible.
Yeah.
But once again, you got to want it.
Yeah.
And
And you know, I had two men in my church. Mm-hmm. One who was an alcoholic, got on his knees, came to Christ, and after that walked sober and still does. Mm-hmm. And it's not like it's an issue for him. Mm-hmm. It's like the temptation went away.
Yeah.
But I had a second man in my church who was sober for like 15, 20 years. And he said, yeah, I'm sober for 15. I still have to go to my group every Friday night. Because
yeah.
for him, it was still a battle. And do you see that? Or do you see most people still having a battle? What do you see?
I've seen people that have just had the problem eradicated, just taken away.
Wow.
I, as I shared with you, am not one of those people.
Yeah.
I actually have to work my plan every single day.
Right.
And I find the victory in my testimony and my victory in Christ, like Revelation 12:11 says. Mm-hmm. I am an overcomer because of the blood of the Lamb and the word of my testimony.
Yes.
And so I live it every day. I'm not going back, but it's a daily choice.
Yeah. And when you look at people who do kind of mess up again later, what is the trap? What's the biggest trap for people to go backward?
You know, I think the justification, the rationalization, you know, I've gone so long, I think I can have one.
Yeah.
And you just make those small compromises. It's like in Song of Solomon, where he talks about the little foxes.
Yeah.
There are so many little foxes out there that look so cute and sweet, but I'll tell you what, they're gonna kill you.
Yeah.
And so I find the small compromises to be a huge stumbling block. Addiction will keep you longer than you want to stay, cost you more than you want to pay, and take you farther than you want to go. And so why even open that door? The other thing is, especially for Teen Challenge clients that I've seen, is relationships.
They get out of relationships, is that what you mean?
Actually, they get into relationships.
Oh.
So when they come into Teen Challenge, they get out of bad relationships, go into a relationship with the Lord, and then next what happens is they find another companion, and they forget that you got to keep the vertical before you look to the horizontal.
Yeah, and they go home to the same situation, and that can really be a problem.
It can, and that's where the determination has to be: who's your boss?
Right.
Is the bottle? Is the pipe? Is the needle going to be your boss? Or is the Lord going to be your
And
boss?
Like the Bible says, do not be deceived. Bad companions ruin good character. You got to change your friends.
Yeah. I had to walk away from 100% of my friends.
Yeah.
Because I chose to say, I want the Lord. I want my wife and my kids.
Yeah.
I had to reassess my priorities. It was money, status, things. That's what I thought justified a good life. When I came out of the hospital after my motorcycle accident and it came to faith, Jesus was number one. My wife Carmen was number two. Our kids are number three. In fact, enjoying life is number four. And fifth for me is ministry.
Okay.
Now that sounds bad, right? But I
like number four, enjoying life.
Yeah.
That's kind of me too.
But
yeah.
I'll tell you, when one, two, three, and four are in order, five happens.
Yeah.
When one, two, three are in order, 12, 13, 14 happen. But you mess up your 1, 2, and 3.
Gotcha.
Everything else is
unshifting. I love to travel and I like to have fun. I seem to share one-on-one the gospel more when I'm traveling having fun than when I'm, you know, sitting at home.
Yeah, isn't that true?
I want to tell you, Minnesota Adult and Teen Challenge has this huge choir. And you go out and you sing in churches.
Yeah.
And you came to the church that I served for many years, Hope Lutheran. And in fact, you're going to be coming to their church again soon. But there's not a dry eye in the house.
No.
You get up and sing, and here's all these people that have been freed from sin. Then they get up and give their testimonies.
Yeah.
I was sitting in the back of the church, and here your big choir is singing, and this young woman gets up and starts giving her testimony, and this big guy starts coming from the back of the church, walking up the aisle toward her, and I'm thinking, it was spooky.
Hmm.
And he gets to the front of the church, and she says, that's my daddy. And they hugged. Oh. I mean, I tell you, even I lost it at that point. But, you know, it's just so thrilling to see you really, by the grace of God, not on our own power, but by the grace of God, Jesus does still set people free.
Yeah.
Yeah. And if people want that, how do they get you to come to their church?
You know, really, they can reach out to me. They can call.
Let's put our website up. Website.
We can put up to our website. We have choirs going up all across the state. In Minneapolis, we have up to 4 or 5 choirs going out on a Sunday.
Wonderful.
And all of our other campuses across the
Wonderful.
State do as well.
So it's at, it's www.mntc, Minnesota Teen Challenge, .org.
That's right.
Wonderful.
That's right.
I'm just curious because we do talk about the way liberalism has wrecked certain denominations. I'm guessing it's mostly the evangelicals that have you in, or do you have more liberal churches having you in?
It is primarily the evangelical churches.
Yeah.
We are, Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. No one will come to the Father except through Him.
Yep.
And that is what we stand on. That is what we were founded on 35 years ago by one of my heroes, Rich Sherber.
Yep.
That is what we're going to continue to stand on.
And, you know, because you're doing such important work and rescuing people out of hell into heaven, I have a feeling the devil doesn't like you.
Yeah.
Do you guys get weird attacks? Do you see demonism or anything like that?
You know, we see it manifest itself in withdrawals. Right now, fentanyl is a huge killer. It is going to a thing called xylazine, where fentanyl is mixed with horse tranquilizer, and it is literally right from the pit of hell. But what we see is the opposite. The enemy does not like what we're doing. And he's got an attack, and that's why we covet prayer partners. But 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, if anyone is in Christ, there's a new creation.
We got to
remember
that.
The old is gone, and the new has come.
Yeah.
And so we get to see that. Mm-hmm. We get to see the Lazaruses. Mm-hmm. We get to see the Mary Magdalenes and the Tom Trzynskis, right?
Yeah.
And there's victory in Jesus.
You know, Tom, look into that camera right there and just, or that one, whatever Fred wants to put you on. And just, if there's somebody out there who's struggling with an addiction, just what would you say to them? And then I'm going to ask you to pray for them.
Yeah.
But what would you say to them?
What I would say to you is, one, you're not alone. Oftentimes we think our story, we're the only one that's ever battling this. And I can tell you that you're not alone. You're loved. You're cared for. And God's got an amazing plan for your life. The biggest thing for you to do is admit it to somebody that you know loves you and cares for you and reach out and get the help. I found out that all of my fears of it being too complicated, I was all alone, nobody would understand, were actually unfounded. And in the 28 years that I've been walking free and sober, I'm finding out that others can find freedom too, and it can happen for you.
Mm-hmm.
Father, I pray a blessing on these men and women that right now you're touching on the shoulder and letting them know that you see them. Father, I pray Jeremiah 33:3 over them, that they would know that they could call out to you and that you will answer them. You won't give them a busy signal or an answering machine or just a ring.
Mm-hmm.
But you'll answer them.
Yes, Lord.
And you'll show them great and unsearchable things that they don't know as they walk in victory as you take them step by step. And so, Father, I pray that there would be prayers going up and calls going out, both vertically to you and horizontally to others that love and care for these men and women.
Mm-hmm.
And they find the freedom in Christ. In Jesus' name.
Jesus' name. Amen. And, you know, I'll call him Ed. That's not who he is. But Ed has a Christian guy, but periodically just rip-roaring drinking problem.
Sure.
And he got to the point where the doctor says, if you drink anymore, you're going to die.
Yeah.
And I think he's cleaning up his act because he has no choice. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, if God can step in and do stuff that we can't, and I think, because I've been praying for Ed mm-hmm. on and off for a few years now, yeah. and worried about him, and to see this happen is, okay, God, thank you.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Yeah. You know, I think we all have Eds in our life. Mm-hmm. And really for us, as believers, as those that care for them, really to stay in their life, to stay connected,
yeah.
to let them know they're not alone,
yeah.
but to pray for them. And always hold to the truth is really a benefit to
right.
the Eds that we have in our life.
And what do you, if we got just a couple minutes, but real quick, let's say that you're a mom or a dad and your son is just using, not turning around. Mm-hmm. Okay to kick him out of the house?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Right now, today, we are giving participant ribbons. We're giving incentives and rewards for good behavior. The good behavior isn't based upon why they should be good, but what I get out of it. I have seen much of our world, Christian and non-Christian, become a very consumer mentality lifestyle.
Mm-hmm.
I think it is very appropriate to set up boundaries and to say, as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. And these are the boundaries. And if they choose to go over here, that is their choice.
Yeah.
You have to let them own that.
Yeah.
Now, there is an age of where that is appropriate and not appropriate. But assuming that the person is older and able to think rightly, you know, we have to remember that the frontal cortex, which helps our reasoning,
mm-hmm.
Does not fully develop until, for women, probably mid-20s, men even a little bit older. But is it right? Is there freedom to be able to have your kids leave the house if they avoid boundaries? Absolutely.
Said, okay, good. Well, Tom, thank you so much.
Yeah, thank
this
you,
has been
Pastor.
A real blessing for us. And just everybody, we're going to put up his website again, mntc.org. If you have an addiction problem of whatever sort, can they just go to there and get a phone number to call, talk
Absolutely.
To somebody?
They can go to our website, access it there, or they can call 612-FREEDOM.
Okay. If you're having a problem, 612-FREEDOM. So everybody, thank you for watching this show. This is an important one. Get help. Don't just keep wallowing. Get help. And we'll see you next time on The Pastor's Study. Thanks, Tom.
Thanks.
Thank you for watching The Pastor's Study. You can watch more of our programs at pastorstudy.org. We are on the air preaching the good news of Jesus Christ because of the generous support of you, our viewers. Would you consider supporting our ministry? You may do so at pastorstudy.org or write The Pastor Study, P.O. Box 41294, Minneapolis, Minnesota 55441. May the blessing of our one triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be with you now and forever.